Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, January 30th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton. I haven't had you on this week, Cole, so I'm glad you came on today, buddy. How's everything?
Doing well. How are you? How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay, man. It's been a tough week. Like, I just got hit with some nasty cold or flu or something, and it's really affected my voice, too. So, once again, guys, bear with me here, but that's why I got Cole on today, because I want him to talk a little bit more, too. All right, Cole, so let's get right into it, man. First things first, let's talk about Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman. They got into it yesterday in Miami at the Super Bowl pre-show thing. Seems like this fight's going to happen. And Usman says that Dana White's told him that Masvidal's next, and Masvidal says that it looks like Usman's next. So, I mean, at this point, it looks like this fight's going to happen, man. So I'm pretty excited for it. And what do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm glad it's happening. It kind of, to me, like, it makes a lot of sense, especially with Edwards Woodley being booked in March. Because even if Usman waited for the winner of that you're not going to fight until, like, July, August after that. So to fight Masvidal, you're cashing in on the big star that Masvidal is. Even if he loses to Usman, I still think he can be a big star after that. But if he wins, he just becomes a mega star. And then you can even set up that Conor fight and have Conor try to become a three-way champion. It just makes a lot of sense. It's a massive fight, Masvidal versus Usman. And really, in the past 2 weeks, Masvidal's really changed focus. Like, before it was, I don't really care about Usman, I'm all about Conor, I want biggest payday. But I don't know what Usman did. Now he says, like, Usman really pisses me off and I really want to fight him. And now it's just like, he doesn't talk about Conor. He only talks about how much he wants to beat up Usman.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's kind of weird. His focus completely shifted, right? Like, they were both at UFC 246, and I think a lot of us thought, Cole, that they would invite, or not, maybe not invite Masvidal to the cage, but maybe announce the fight afterwards, and we never got it. And then soon afterwards, Masvidal said, you know what, I don't think Conor wants to fight me, and it seems like he's just turned his focus completely to Usman. So I don't know what happened. I mean, like, maybe Conor told Dana White, I don't want to fight Masvidal next, or Dana White's very adamant about this rematch with Khabib. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it seems like Masvidal's just given up on this Conor fight for now, and he's chasing Usman, and Usman's chasing him. So to me, it's a good fight. It's a great fight. It makes a lot of sense, Cole. Like, if you look at the rankings, it just makes sense. Masvidal's obviously the hottest guy in that division. Usman is the champ. It's a great fight. I think Usman's hurt right now. I don't know exactly what the injury is, but he is apparently injured. That's what we've heard, Cole. My guess would be this fight would headline the International Fight Week in Vegas in July. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think it might not even headline, because you could have maybe that Cormier Miocic trilogy there. Like, it could be like a 2-3 fight, like a triple title fight again. But yes, it makes sense to be on that June, July. Like, I think that's when you're kind of doing it. Because it would not be in Brazil in May. And that's just, I think June, July is when it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so too. And hey, we forgot about Conor in that conversation too. I mean, he could fight Khabib potentially in that card. I doubt it though, Cole. That's the thing that I hate about this whole Khabib rematch, because, you know, Khabib, he doesn't like, I love Khabib, he doesn't fight that often. Like, he usually takes breaks between his fights, right? Like, usually 6 month breaks. So he might not fight until like September, Cole. So it's possible Conor's gonna be waiting a long time, which is just dumb for the UFC. But if they're really adamant about getting this rematch, I mean, first off, we've talked about this, Cole, there's no sure thing that Khabib's gonna get by Tony Ferguson. So the UFC is really, I don't know, they're putting all their eggs in one basket here. The only other thing I can think of is Nate Diaz going to get the fight with Conor? Are they going to do that trilogy fight? Because I've seen some speculation out there, some people saying that could possibly be the next fight. To me, that would have been the fight if Conor had lost to Cowboy Cole, but the fact that he won, you can pretty much book against anyone. So, I don't know. And we've got a couple comments here. Anthony LDS, Masvidal will get his ass kicked. I don't know. I mean, Usman versus Masvidal is a pretty competitive fight, I think, man. I mean, Usman obviously has the wrestling, but Masvidal is no slouch in that department. And striking-wise, Cole, I mean, I would give Masvidal the edge, but definitely an interesting fight. I mean, there are betting odds out there. Let me pull it up for a sec. They are out there.
Well, that's the thing. Masvidal is not a terrible, like, he has pretty, like, okay takedown defense. He might even be able to stuff some of Usman's, but yeah. That's the thing. If Usman can hold him down, like, I think Masvidal, he's a strong guy. Like, I think he might even be able to get up on the feet. He has advantage. I think it's a closer fight than a lot of people think, but
I agree. The odds right now are actually more lopsided than I thought, Cole. They're minus 260 for Usman and plus 200 for Masvidal. Those will change, though, once the fight's officially announced. People will come in on Masvidal. At plus 200, you have to take Masvidal, I think. I mean, those odds, to me, look a little – they look really off, Cole. I mean, you got to agree with me on that, right?
Before you even said the odds, I was kind of thinking in my head, I'm like, what would I probably bet? I'm thinking, like, minus 150, minus 160, yeah. Usman. Like, Yeah. And not even much plus money on Mazzola. Like, I'd only think like plus 120, plus 125.
Yeah, these odds are, they're from BetOnline, which is like an online sports book. Once the real guys in Vegas start putting the odds equal, they can't give away plus money on Mazzola because people are going to be betting on them like crazy. I got a comment here from Kevin Scott. Thanks, Kevin, for the comment. Usman's injury is a small ligament issue in his hand. He says he shouldn't keep him out too long at all. That's good. I still think July makes sense because March, it's booked. That card's got the two title fights. April, it's Habib, that's booked. May is...
in Brazil. You're not going to do it in Brazil.
June, though, it's possible. I mean, because June is usually Chicago. They usually do that card for a pay-per-view in Chicago. I guess you could do Usman versus Masvidal there. I just think it's too big of a fight. You got to save it for Vegas, I think. But we'll see what happens, Cole. The good thing is it does look like there's some progress being made here. By the way, what do you think of the whole run yesterday? Do you think it was staged? Because I saw a lot of like NFL guys saying like it looks so like fixed and stuff. What do you think, man?
I just don't think they like each other, and that's what you get when you have fighters. Like, Masvidal is as real as you get. Like, if he doesn't like you, he's going to tell you. Like, he's not going to be the one to, like, act on stuff. Like, he's not going to be putting on a show. Like, he's just a real dude. I think it was kind of real, but I think to the NFL guys, like, they don't know how much they actually don't like each other.
Yeah, one of the guys that posted the video was like, I don't follow UFC, but apparently these two guys are really big names, but the whole thing looks staged, and it's like, if you don't even know who they are, then maybe you should make comment about it. But either way, it was kind of funny, Cole. You know, they're just being held back and stuff. It is what it is. They're just trying to build heat for the fight, man. I can't blame them. All right, let's move on to next thing here. Kamaru Usman, Cole. So perhaps surprisingly, praised Colby Covington. You know, I think a lot of people were surprised by his comments. Basically gave Colby a lot of credit for that fight at UFC 245, which was an epic fight. I was there for that fight, Cole. Almost went the full five rounds. It was a brutal fight. Stand-up fight. Both guys took a lot of damage in that fight. Colby got knocked out, broke his jaw, obviously. But great fight, and basically just praised Colby. He says that they'll meet again in the future. I actually thought it was kind of cool for Usman to actually come out and actually give his opponent props. What do you think?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I didn't think Usman would do that, but it's good to see, like, I think everything Usman said was true. He's like, he had to ask his corner for the first time in his career, like, did I win that round? Because every round, I know there was a bunch of people, there was like 3-1 and all that stuff. And it's just, and they are the two best guys at welterweight. Like, they will meet again. Like, Colby only needs one or two wins and they'll meet again. And it's going to be such an interesting rematch because if they fight 10 times, like, I would probably don't know who would win all 10 times. Like, it's such an interesting, like, anytime they fight, like, I wouldn't be surprised if either of them won. And it showed in that fight how competitive and close it was.
I agree. And by the way, I didn't have you on earlier this week, I don't think. Michael Chiesa called out Colby. Do you think he gets that fight?
I like the matchup. I think it's a good fight for Colby because if you look at the rankings, like, he's kind of fought a lot of the guys, or a lot of them are tied up. And maybe he waits for, like, because Chiesa's at, what, 7?
Right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rankings. So you have 7, Woodley, yeah. Mazal, Edwards all tied up. You're not going to fight Mai again. Wonderboy's at 6. Like, it's going to be Wonderboy or Chiesa, really. And I think Chiesa is a more interesting fight because it is a grappler. So we got to see, like, who's the better grappler. But I'd favor Covington in that fight. I think it's a bad match for Chiesa. But I've overlooked Chiesa against the RDA, so you never know.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting fight. We'll see if he gets what he wants. But he wants it in July, so that could make sense for that card. Let's talk about Nate Diaz here quickly. I really don't want to talk about Stephen A. Smith too much, Cole, because honestly, I'm really tired of the MMA media just going on and off about this guy. Because, dude, this is exactly why he said what he did, Cole. Yeah. This is exactly – he won, man.
This is his entire show. This is what him and Skip Bayless and all those guys do. They do bad takes so it gets a bunch of views on YouTube and it makes them money. Like, yep. This is their entire show and people fall for it every single time.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think Stephen A. Smith is as, like, dumb about MMA as a lot of people think he is. Like, he's covered the sport, like, a little bit more than people are assuming he has. You know, he's been around for a long time, Cole. And, you know, I personally don't like these guys. Like, I don't – you know, we're Canadian, Cole. We don't even really – like, we do get those ESPN shows on TSN, but I don't watch them. And when I have, to me, they're just kind of, like, loudmouth guys who have, like you said, these hot takes that are bad takes just to get views and clicks, and it works. But anyways, as far as Nate Diaz goes, we got to talk about this quickly. He basically said that Stephen A. Smith is right, that Cerrone didn't want him to fight, and that he owes that Conor and Joe Rogan owe Stephen Smith an apology. What do you think about this?
Conor will never apologize. Rogan doubled down on his podcast with – I forget. He's had 3 straight MMA ones. I don't know if it was Edgar Usman, but he basically said he doesn't know MMA. He's wrong. Like.
What do you think about Joe Rogan? Just give me your honest assessment of him.
As a comment, like, he's obviously a legend in the sport, what he's done for the sport. is awesome. Like, he brought it. Like, he is such one of the most notable guys in the sport. But lately, like, his commentary, it's, he seems like he has an agenda going into the fight, and he won't change his mind even if the opposite's happening. Like, that entire Cyborg-Spencer fight, he's like, oh, Spencer's doing so well because they didn't want Cyborg to look good. There's just a lot of things where he thinks someone's going to win. When they aren't winning, he still says, oh, they're looking so good in this fight. So, I don't know, but it's, I don't think the UFC will ever get rid of him just because of how much he's done for the sport. But I don't know, he's already toned back a lot. Like, he only does U.S. pay-per-views. He only does like 8-9 shows a year. So, but yeah, he's still one of those guys that whenever he's on the mic, like, everyone knows, oh, that's Joe Rogan's voice.
Yeah, I mean, he's famous. Obviously, his podcast, millions of views. You know, I've mentioned this in the past couple of years, probably. I just think that he's, he doesn't care as much about the sport as he used to. You know, I know he still obviously talks to fighters and he does a good job with that, but I don't know, Cole. He's kind of like taken on like a different persona now. I think he's like way more political than ever. And that's really not like my cup of tea personally. So it is what it is. But I mean, the guy's killing it. He's making a ton of money. You know, he's extremely famous. He's more famous than pretty much any fighter, I think, at this point, besides Conor. Maybe he's even more famous than Conor, Cole. Like, everyone knows who Joe Rogan is. So, like, good for him. But I just feel like I think there's better guys out there that can do a better job as far as the commentary goes. Like, a few years ago, they had Brian Stann doing it. Brian Stann was an incredible commentator, and they let him go. Or he left himself. He's like, you know what, I'm not making enough money. I'm going to go back to school and do something that I can make more money at. I think he did an MBA or something. Like, but I thought Brian Stann was incredible. And I honestly think guys like Cormier is better than Joe Rogan at this point. So, you know, I get that the guy has got a huge following and he's world famous and stuff, but I don't know, Cole. Like, at this point, like, I'm kind of tired of hearing his opinion, honestly. Like, I know that, you know, some people might disagree with me on that, but I don't know. I'm not as big as a fan as a lot of people are. Anyways, I really don't want to talk about Stephen A. Smith anymore, just because, man, like, the whole MMA media has been talking about this guy all week. It's just like, let it go, guys. Like, let it freaking go. Like, come on. You know, there's so many other guys to talk about. All right, let's move on here. Frankie Edgar. I think you did the article on this one, Cole. He's got one fight left in his contract. I think he resigns with the UFC, man. I think he's a lifer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's a lifer. I don't think he'll ever leave the UFC. I think he says he's going bantamweight. Even if he loses, he's been in the UFC since, six.
Yeah.
I think since he probably only had like 5-6 fights outside of the UFC. Like, he got into the UFC early. He's a future Hall of Famer. The UFC, he's kind of a guy I don't think the UFC will ever let go. So I think he'll resign, and I think he's a guy that is a name that you can have headline or co-main event any show you want, any fight night show you want.
Yeah, he's been around so long. He's been around, like I said, 2007. I was right about that. And you were right, too. He had 6 fights before that. His first card was 2007, UFC 67, Anderson Silva against Travis Luter. That was the main event on that card. He fought Tyson Griffin and won a decision. So he's been around forever, Cole. You know, he's been through so many different eras of the UFC, and now he's still fighting, and he's fighting as a bantamweight. You know, I think he is a guy who's a legend too. You know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. But I just, like, there's a lot of guys that will test the water and go to Bellator or PFL or ONE or whatever. I just can't see that happening with Frankie, man. I think the UFC will keep him in tow. They like him. They always give him big fights. Maybe not if they deserves it or not, but I think he'll stick around. And I'm curious to see what happens at 135. I still think the decision to give him that short notice fight with Chan Sung Jung was such a stupid decision all around by everyone. The UFC, him, Ali, just an awful decision. They should have got Calvin Kattar or Shane Burgos to fight the Korean Zombie instead, Cole. It just never made sense to me. And now you screwed. Like, Corey Sandhagen doesn't have a fight booked yet, does he?
Nope. And that rally card, like,
unreal.
It really needed that because it took a big hit when that fight came off. Because that card was looking like a really good fight night card, those three top cards.
And there was like a guy like Jamal Hill versus Darko Stosur should never be on a main card. Like, that's not a main card fight. So I agree with you completely. Darren Till, he's not going to be fighting at UFC London. I don't think he's going to fight at UFC 248. Like, it's kind of weird because Dana said that he like tore his ankle or something, but Till said he's fine. He said he's training. I don't know what happened, but he's not fighting Cannonier. Is Cannonier still on that card or no?
Right now he doesn't have an opponent because
what's going on here?
Whitaker pulled out, Till pulled out. So maybe at this point now, maybe the UFC just says, hey, stay ready. If we find your opponent, we find your opponent, but make weight. And if Romero misses, you're in for the title shot.
That's probably what's going to happen with Jared. But yeah.
But that really.
Huh? Cole, you still there? All right. I don't know what happened to Cole, but I'm still here. All right. Let's talk about the next thing here. Rafael Lovato Jr. Let me boot Cole out of this one. Remove from stream. See if you can get back in here. Sorry, guys. I'm not happy to Cole's thing. Cole, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you dropped out for a sec.
Really? It said I was. It showed me I was there the entire time.
Yeah, it drops out. It's you that dropped out this time, bud. All right. That's weird. Finish your sentence. What were you saying?
Well, yeah, that pay-per-view would have been amazing with Cannon, like that two title fights at Canary Whitaker, Canary Till. Like that fight was a good lead-up fight to title fight. So maybe they do Canary Gaslam. Maybe I know Gas is coming off a loss just to keep them busy, but Canary needs to fight again. He hasn't fought since September. Like now, if both Whitaker and Till out for a while, like he probably won't fight for a while then.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. All right, let's move on to Rafael Lovato Jr. So he actually did an interview, I think, with Joe Rogan, if I'm not mistaken. Cool. Yeah. And he said that basically he was tested in Europe, I believe, for his they did brain scan or something, and they found some irregularities, and he will not be able to fight in Europe anymore. And they were like shocked that he fought Musasi in London. He actually won that fight. He's not going to be able to fight in Europe. He says he's not retired yet, but obviously he'll have to contemplate retirement. Do you think this is it for Rafael Lovato Jr.? And do you think either way, do you think the Bellator should either strip him of the title or create a vacant title and have Musashi fight for that against someone else?
Yeah, Bellator released a statement, just said they're talking to Lovato Jr. about the next steps. I think they have to strip him. Like, he hasn't fought. That fight was in, what, June, July? It was in the summer.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, and he doesn't know when he'll even be able to fight, if he will, again. He said, Europe's already ruled me out. He goes, I have to get more brain scans in North America to see if I can fight here. I don't know if any commission will let him fight now that there's some brain condition, because no, you can hide a little leg injuries, but you can't hide a brain injury, because that's how like you can die easily with a brain injury. Like he says it's not serious right now, but I don't know if we'll ever see him again, because you have to put your health before it. It's really not worth the risk of losing your life or being really seriously injured, and like who knows what could happen from this brain injury. So I think he doesn't fight in. I think Bellator has to strip him, and you do Musasi versus someone for the vacant belt.
Yeah, and it'd be disappointing if he does retire, because, I mean, cool, 10-0. Never lost a fight and beat Musasi in his last fight to win the title. So that would be very disappointing if this was the end of his career. But like you said, Cole, you got to put your health first. And if it's a brain injury, I mean, that's extremely serious, of course. So I don't know. I mean, I think they might do a vacant title first and just kind of wait it out with Lovato, and then he could unify the belt. But not a vacant title, an interim title for now. But Bellator doesn't really do interim titles either, right? Like they typically don't do them. So maybe they'll just strip him, man. It's hard to say. But yeah, definitely it sucks for Lovato Jr. He's a good fighter, and I'm definitely disappointed when I heard that news. All right, let's talk about some fight announcements here, Cole. I got a really good fight for you, man. Cody Steeman against Raoni Barcelos, UFC Columbus. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I really like this fight. I thought, surprised Steeman's getting a guy like this. I thought he'd get a bit higher up in the rankings, especially after the draw to Song Yadong, where a lot of people thought he had won the fight. So I'm surprised he's fighting, because Barcelos isn't ranked, right? Like,
I don't think he is, but he's really good. I mean,
he is really good. That's why I'm surprised Steeman took this fight. Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
This is a risky fight for Steeman. Yeah, he isn't ranked, because like, Case Kenny and Marlon Vera, the bottom two guys.
14th or something? 15th?
Steeman's 11.
Wow, okay.
That's why I'm surprised to have. Steeman's experience, he's good. Barcelos hasn't fought a lot of those top guys. It's going to be interesting to see if he is legit when he fights Steeman. I think it's a really close fight, and it's a really tough one to call.
Yeah, it's a great fight. I love this matchup. This card's actually looked really good, Cole. I don't know. It's hard to say, right? Like, I've been really impressed with Barcelos, man. Like, he's looked amazing. 4-0 in the UFC. Steeman's looked good, too. 4-1-1, so he's solid as well. But I don't know. Barcelos is something special, man, in my opinion. He's just a little bit older than, like, a lot of these guys. He's 32, so it's a little bit older for that division. But he's solid, man. So definitely a great fight. Love the matchmaking here. Even though I'm with you, it's kind of risky by Steeman to fight a guy who's ranked lower than him. But it's a good fight either way. And the other one here is they added one more fight to UFC 247, Cole. Austin Lingo against Yusuf Zalal. I don't know too much about these guys, but I know that they're pretty highly regarded prospects. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I've talked to Austin a couple of times. He's a Fortis guy. Fortis, anyone when I talk to Fortis, like Diego, Jeff Neal, they all say, even Miles Johns, they go, this guy's a future champion. He's probably one of the best guys in the gym. Everyone's been saying it's just a matter of time. Safe said even after his first or second fight, Safe said, this is the best I've ever seen someone look this young in their career. He has a lot of props going into this fight. Guys comes from a good gym. I know Zalal, I think he's LFA champ, or he goes right there for an LFA champ. It's kind of weird to see the UFC sign two prospects, not off the contender series, just straight up and have them fight. So it should be an exciting fight to open up the card, though. And short notice because Vera versus Jimmy Rivera fell off.
Yeah, that sucks. I was looking forward to that fight. But yeah, you're right. It's just, you know, there's a lull, though. Overall, his record's decent at 7-2. He's young, he's only 23, but Cole, he's just 1-2 in his last three fights. Like, especially considering he didn't fight the contender series, I'm very surprised they signed this guy. Like, I know he's pretty highly regarded and he had some good wins in LFA, but Cole, seriously though, like 1-2 in his last three fights, I'm just surprised he got signed. And Lingo, he's 7-0, he's perfect record. He's a Fortis guy, like you said. He's coming off LFA wins too. So both these guys are LFA vets. That's the way to get in the UFC these days. You fight in LFA, you fight in the contender series. Interesting fight. Really have to do more research. I can't give you guys too much of an opinion about this. Kevin Scott, Canyon was a backup last 185-pound title fight too. Guy can't catch a break. Yeah, and quite frankly, he probably should be the one fighting for the belt because he does have a win streak at 185, whereas Romero's on that two-fight losing streak. But Romero is ranked higher. Romero is, I think, a more dangerous fight and a more interesting fight, but Cannonier is extremely underrated. I mean, I've underrated him. I know you've underrated him too, Cole. Like, he's just an underrated guy. But I think a lot of us, especially you, Cole, I know you're really high on him now. So the guy's really solid. If anyone has any last questions, throw them in here and we'll answer them. Cole, is there anything else you want to talk about today? I obviously didn't get a chance to talk to you about the UFC card on the weekend or the Bellator card. If you want, we can talk about that really quickly here. Any takeaways from the UFC card?
Yeah, Cyborg looked really UFC.
Either card's fine. Yeah,
go ahead. I'll just briefly do both quickly. The Cyborg looked really impressive. Darren Caldwell, I think he's a real threat in this thing. Him versus McKee. I thought the fight to make or the most fight I'd be excited for was McKee Borks, but after seeing them face off and thinking about it, like, I'm really excited for McKee Caldwell because McKee's never fought a wrestler like Caldwell. So it's going to be really interesting. Other on Bellator, Aaron Pico's knockout, that really impressive. I hope Bellator doesn't throw him back into like the Henry Corrales' range of the featherweight division. Like, keep building him up. I wouldn't even be mad if they find a guy lower ranked than Daniel Carey. Like, not as, like, he's still only 5-3. He needs to string together like 3-4 more wins before you even start putting him back up there. As to the UFC, if you would have told me Blades wouldn't have got a single takedown and the fight ended in the second round, I would say JDS won by knockout. So to see Blades do that without using his wrestling was really impressive. Like, his striking has improved a lot, but he's kind of in this weird territory where Cormier, Stipe are just waiting for that trilogy if it happens. And Ngannou's fighting Rozenstruik. If Ngannou wins, Ngannou's going to be next in line for a winner of Cormier, Stipe. And so then Blades probably has to take another fight, but there's no one really else that makes a lot of sense for him. So he's kind of in this weird spot because of the two losses to Ngannou. Other than that, Chiesa really surprised me. Arnold Allen had a good performance. I still think the Bellator card was better, and I think I ended up watching Bellator. I watched Bellator on my laptop, but I was more tuning into Bellator. I think it was a better card, but there were some good performances on both cards all around.
Yeah, you know, Cole, there was some good fights this weekend. I'm with you, man. I wasn't even sure about Caldwell. I honestly wasn't buying him too much, especially after losing to Kyoji Horiguchi twice. My God, he looked good, Cole. He looked amazing in that fight. Honestly, like, I'm the biggest McKee fan. I think he's the best prospect in the sport. I think he is a future champion. I think he'll hold that belt for a long time. I think Caldwell has a chance to beat him. I really do.
100%. I think so too.
Yeah,
we've never seen McKee been tested wrestling. We don't know what his wrestling defense is like because he just starches everybody. Like, it's going to be interesting. If he can't stop the takedown, Caldwell's just going to ride out a decision win.
I agree completely, Cole. It's an interesting fight. That whole tournament, like, is crazy. The other side of the bracket, what are the other fights? It's Patricio Pimple versus Pedro Carvalho, I think.
And then it's...
I'm going to win that fight, obviously. And the other fight is...
Emmanuel Sanchez versus Vichel.
That fight's interesting. It's a rematch, obviously. I think it'll go either way.
I think it could, but I think Pimple comes out of that side of the bracket no matter what.
You know the one thing I'll say, Cole? I don't understand these guys who are like, oh, Pitbull took the easy side of the bracket. He took the easy fights.
Why wouldn't he?
Of course he did. He's a champ.
You get paid more when you're the champ, and then you have a better shot of getting $1 million at the end.
Let me ask you a question, Paul. If you were in that tournament, who would you have picked if you're Pitbull, you got to pick anyone you wanted, who would you have picked?
I'd pick Carvalho or Vichel, probably. I would have stayed away from McKee, Borks, Caldwell. I would have Actually, I might have picked McKee beat in the semifinal. Who picked McKee?
What did you say?
Who's the one that picked McKee? Because that would be, for me, it'd be Carvalho.
Campos. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be Carvalho or Campos, probably.
You know, there is some strategy to that because, like, he wanted, you know, if he beats him, he's obviously beating the best guy in that bracket. So I can see the strategy to it, but that was a tough fight for him, man. And Campos, I think, was one of the weaker guys in that tournament. He's a decent fighter, but he's not amazing by any means. But yeah, you know, I love the tournament. By the way, we should mention this. Scott Coker has talked a little bit about a possible featherweight women's tournament. What do you think, man? Like, I don't know, because
I don't think there's
so weak. And he also mentioned, you know, her next opponent could be Arlene Blencow. Who the hell wants to see that fight?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, there's, I wish only Bellator, UFC, like, they both can't have featherweight division, because I know UFC only has like 5 fighters, but at least if there's 5 more fighters in one division, like, have Felicia Spencer, have me and Anderson. I know Saberg beats them, but it gives them more options. Like, you have Arlene Blencow, you have Kat Zingano. After that, what are you going to do? Julia Budd rematch, and then what, Leslie Smith again? Like, there's not a whole lot of fights for Cyborg.
Yeah, Kat Zingano is, I guess, the fight, but I think she needs a tune-up fight, Cole. She hasn't fought in a long time. She actually, her last fight was on the card where Nunez knocked out Cyborg, UFC 232, so she hasn't fought in forever. I'm not really buying her as a contender at all, though. Honestly, I think Kat Zingano's a little bit overrated as a fighter. She does have some good wins. She did beat Amanda Nunes by knockout. She did knock out Misha Tate, but that was a while ago, Cole. That was like 6-7 years ago. She's taken a lot of damage. She's been through a lot in her personal life. I don't think she's the same fighter she once was. I think Cyborg smokes everyone in Bellator, man. It's a good spot for her. She's going to make a shitload of money, and she's going to knock a lot of girls out. I'm just disappointed she's not in the UFC anymore, Cole. Honestly, like, it's just Dana White's ego gone in the way once again, because Cole, how bad do you want to see Amanda Nunes versus Cyborg 2? I want to see that fight so bad.
Yeah, I'd be really excited for that fight, because I think that fight can go. I think Cyborg can win that fight, because I think Cyborg didn't fight smart the first one. She went for a brawl. She's the more technical fighter. I think she can have success. And then if Nunes beats Cyborg again, there's no doubt in anyone's mind, because some people still think Cyborg's one of the best ever, if not the best. If she went to go and beat Cyborg again, you're 2-0. Your hands down, there could be no argument of who the greatest of all time is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. What else happened in that card? Your boy Curtis Millender got a win. That was nice to see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. I know he's been vocal about it. He thinks PFL is a good option, $1 million. He said, if Bellator offers me MVP, I'm going to stay and fight MVP. I don't know if the UFC will re-sign him, I think. But even if he goes to PFL, like, PFL's handing out pretty good paydays too, so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with him. I if I had to guess, I think he probably stays in Bellator.
Yeah, and I saw that Chamakor Sandhu, he's posted a PFL job opening. So they're spending money, man. Like, they're hiring social media guy, marketing director or something, like, so they're spending money. I think they're going all in for this third season, Cole.
Yeah, me too as well.
Yeah, this is it. Cause like, if they don't make money for their investors will pull out, I believe. I like PFL. I know you do too, Cole. It's just nice to have a different format. You know, it's just, you know, we all love the UFC, Cole, but I do think the tournament format, there is some merit to it. Like, you have to win your way to the championship. You just can't be gifted a title shot like in the UFC. So I do like what the PFL is doing. Let's get this question here by Kevin here. Any thoughts on tomorrow's LFA card, next week's Invicta? Miranda Maverick's fighting in the Invicta co-main event. She is legit. Jin Yu Frey is in the main event too. We could talk about this right now if you want, but I guess we could wait until the odds come out. I don't know if LFA will have odds, but Invicta for sure. Any thoughts on this LFA card, Cole?
I know Miranda Maverick, that's a name I've been hearing for a while. I think she's 1 or 2 fights away from the UFC. She's really good. Jin Hu Frey, she's always exciting. She's a really good fighter. It's LFA, I just haven't gotten into it just because we were never able to watch in Canada. I know that's where a lot of top prospects come. For the longest time, was on Access TV. Mm-hmm. Access TV isn't a thing in Canada. So for years, you're going to watch. I know it's on Fight Pass. If I'm around, I try to watch LFA, but it's not something like where the UFC were all like, I won't make plans so I can watch it.
See, Cole, when you were like a little toddler in your diapers, I was watching Access TV, man. I used to be called HDNet, and Mark Cuban, I think, owned it one time, and they had some really good fights on that show, man. They used to have Dream, they used to have MFC, which was a big promotion here in Canada. They don't have that anymore, but it was cool to watch, Cole. So yeah. I think they're on Fight Pass, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, LFA's on Fight Pass.
There you go. So it's still on there. I'll be honest, guys, I don't watch that much of the regional stuff these days. There's so much MMA to watch, and I'm so busy that it's very hard to watch everything. But I definitely keep up as much as I can. But yeah, as far as the Invicta card goes, Kevin, Jinyu Frey versus Ashley Cummins is an interesting fight for sure. But Jinyu Frey, like you said, Cole, you know, if they ever do an atomweight division, I think she'd be brought in immediately.
Oh, yeah.
She could definitely be a contender. And I think, actually, wasn't one of your like bold predictions, hot takes, 105-pound division?
I think it happens. Like, yeah. Whenever I talk to Winklejohn or Michelle Watterson, they always say it's getting more like talked about. If I heard Michelle Watterson told me too that she heard that if Tough was coming back, it was for an atomweight division. So it seems like the UFC's interested. I think the UFC, if they get rid of the women's featherweight division, I think that's what I'm getting. I don't know why they're so insistent of having women's featherweight now, because Cyborg's gone. There's no real fighters. Or at least women's atomweight, there's a ton of fighters. Convicta has a whole division. There's a lot in Ryzen. There's a lot over in Japan. Like, you could have 15, 30 fighters at 105 rather than having five at 145.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Just also that card, like you said, Miranda Maverick. She's fighting Pearl Gonzalez. That's an interesting fight. I mean, Pearl Gonzalez was in the UFC for a while. I think the winner probably gets in the UFC, right? Would you say?
Yeah, I wonder if Pearl Gonzalez gets back in the UFC. I don't know if she and the UFC left on good terms or not, but she is a really good fighter. I'm surprised Bellator hasn't even poached her for the 125 division.
I'll say this about Pearl. She's extremely marketable. I'll say that about her, Cole. You know, she's an easy sell. She went 0-2 in the UFC and they cut her, but she's 4-1 in Invicta. So I think she can come back. She's pretty popular on social media, man. You look at her Instagram and her Twitter, she's a big following. I mean, she's obviously a very attractive woman. So, I mean, that helps, obviously. And she's winning her fight. So if she wins this fight, I think they'll invite her back. But it's Miranda Maverick, Cole. I mean, she won that tournament, right? So, you know, that's a Phoenix Series tournament. That was a big win for her. She could definitely get into the UFC. She's 22 years old, you know? I'll be honest, Cole. I think there's a lot of fighters in Invicta that could beat some of the fighters in the top 15 in the UFC right now, especially at 125, because I believe that division's a little bit weak. Got a comment here from Kevin. Miranda's won Invicta's last one in a tournament, 22. Definitely need to watch at 125 for sure. One thing I want to talk to you about, Cole, and I didn't get a chance to the new rankings. First off, when they introduced them earlier this week, they had it combined.
Oh, and that was so bad because there was so much white space. It's like that'd be the worst. Because to me, it looked like Jessica I was ranked ahead of like Monzo or something. How is that possible?
It was awful. But even still, it's a good idea. It is, but it doesn't. It's a good idea to separate the pound for pound ranks, because men will never fight women in the UFC or in MMA, so they shouldn't have been in the same rankings in the first place. But I don't know about this. Like, if you're looking at the wins, like, you got fighters like Jessica Eye in the number 12 pound for pound in the world. Really?
Do you know what is so weird to me? I was looking at this. So look at the divisional rankings. So there is, for example, Nina Ansarov is ranked 5 at strawweight. Claudia Gadelha is ranked 6. And the pound for pound, Claudia Gadelha is ahead of Nina Ansarov.
I see that too. That's weird.
And there's stuff like that in the entire, like, all over that. It makes no sense.
These,
like, Tatiana Suarez is one ahead of Joanna at strawweight, but then she's 3 behind her and pound for pound. Like,
the rankings are terrible. You know, they're just bad. And actually, I had a good discussion with Marcus Williams, who's one of our, you know, top commenters here on the podcast. Marcus sent me a DM last week after I think we talked about the rankings, and he's just like, you know, I'd like to see the UFC use like a college football ranking system where they use statistics based on your strength of competition, your wins and losses. And I told Marcus, I'm like, I see what you're saying, Marcus, but in MMA, I don't think it works, because in college football or in NFL or whatever, like, they play a lot of games. In UFC, Cole, you might fight it like once, twice, three times a year, you know? So to me, it's like, it's very hard to create a ranking system based on numbers. I know Fight Matrix does that. What I'd like to see, Cole, you dump these stupid rankings from the media and you get Sean Shelby and Mick Mayer to give their rankings and just release them publicly. Why are they keeping it such a secret? I don't get it. Like, I don't know. Like, the UFC is so secretive about stuff. Like, you know, sometimes they do like those behind the scenes things where they go on the office call and they have like the whiteboard and you can see all the rankings. Those are different rankings than what these rankings are. They have their own ranking system. They have, they probably don't have Just Guy in their top 10 or whatever, pound for pound. Like, they have different rankings. I prefer to see the actual matchmakers' rankings. What do you think?
Well, even after that Reddit thing where half the media guys weren't even doing MMA.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, that's what I, like, I talked to Kevin Lee, like, a week ago, and I basically, like, why I keep on fighting guys below you at Oliveira and Makhachev? He's like, because the ranking don't mean anything. He's literally like, me and my team have our own rankings. We know who's good. We know who is only up there because of popularity. We're trying to fight the tough guys. We're like, you could beat an unranked guy and move up two spots. You could beat number five and only move up one spot. It's like, it doesn't make sense. They aren't even looking at the rankings. I think that's the way a lot of fighters are. Like, the rankings to a lot of them don't matter anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're just awful, man. Like, why is McGregor in the welterweight rankings really, like, 15th? That doesn't even make sense. Like, it's just weird. I don't want to talk about the rankings anymore. What else we want to talk about here, Cole? Got you on here, so what else do you want to talk about, man?
I don't know. Well, Ronda Rousey, I saw on BJ Penn, sure. Tom did it, but she's saying people are always talking to her, asking her when she's going to come back. She basically just said she has, like, fighting is no longer important to her and she has no more interest in fighting. Like, she never actually said the R word. Like, she's never retired, but I would be highly surprised if Ronda Rousey ever came back.
I don't even like Ronda, man. She's not a nice person. The one time I did interview her when I was, like, really new in the business, she was extremely, like, just condescending to me. I just never really liked her. Was she a great fighter? I guess. I mean, she beat a lot of fighters by submission. Like, good for her, but I don't know, Cole. I was just never really a big fan. Like, you talk to most media members, Cole, they'll tell you she really never gave us the time of day. You know, she just became really famous, and I think it got to her head. And she got knocked out those two times and then basically just quit the sport. And now I think she's married to Travis Brown, or, like, they're having a kid or something. I don't know.
She's not doing WWE anymore either.
Brown's an awful person too. So to me, it's just like, I just don't care about either of them. Like, you know, I don't like to get my personal opinions involved, but I just remember that one time I talked to Ronda on the phone, and, you know, I'll be honest, like, I was extremely new in the business, quote. Like, she was in Strikeforce Challengers at the time. This was, like, 2011, like, a long time ago. She just beat Julia Budd, actually. It was, like, a week after she beat Budd. I was working with Moro. Moro's like, call Ronda and talk to her. And I was talking to her, and she's like, oh, I don't want to talk to an intern. Put Moro on the phone. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm just like, wow, really? Like, so to me, I never got a good vibe from her after that. And like I said, Cole, I've talked to a lot of media members. A lot of people said the same thing. So, you know, I know what she did for the sport and for women's MMA. And I get that she's an important figure in the sport. But, you know, to me, it's like, this is a two-way street, the media and the athletes, Cole. Like, we help each other out. You know, and if you're going to be like that, like, I really don't have time today for you. So it is what it is. You know, at least I got to talk to her when she was on her way up before she became famous. But yeah, just never been a fan of her. Honestly, if she comes back, I don't think it's going to go well for her, Cole. I think that the sport's really evolved since she's been in it. And I think it evolved even at the end of her career. You know, she got that knockout over Betch, and it really changed the way she fought. She started thinking, I can stand and train with these girls. And then we saw what Holly did to her. We saw what Amanda did to her. And then she just basically quit. So if she comes back, well, I think she loses to pretty much anyone in the top 10 at this point. I'll be honest. Like, maybe there's some people she can submit, but she goes and stands with her. If she fights Holly again, I think she gets knocked out again. All right, Kevin Scott, thoughts on Nick Kalika's taking early action on Dom, Reyes, Yoel, and Yuan? How many of those three you see winning? Okay, so that's a great question, Kevin. And I wish I could get Nick on today, but he's a little busy at the moment. I'll try to get him on maybe.
No, I really like what Nick's doing with those. I watch those where he actually, because a lot of people say, oh, I picked him. And yeah, he's legit showing, like, here's my money, here's my bet slip. Like,
I love Nick. I mean, Nick's treating me so well. I mean, like, there's, you know, Cole, this is a tough business. There have been a lot of people that have given me an opportunity here. And Cole, you know, Nick's given me an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity now too, Cole. So Nick's a great guy and an amazing boss. But I think what he's doing now is great. You know, I don't know if it was his idea or the UFC told him to do this, but he's going into the casinos, Cole. He's giving them this wad of cash. He's giving them the bet slip. He's posting it online. He's saying, here's my money. Where my mouth is. As far as, you know, the early action he's put on those three guys, Kevin, I'm not necessarily convinced that Nick actually thinks they will win. The thing is, Nick is a guy that bets on line value. So it's possible Nick will bet on these three, and then when the line changes, he'll bet on the other side and then make the difference depending on who wins. That's what I think he might do, just basically get a free wager. I'm not 100% what Nick's thinking. I'm not sure what Nick's thinking, but I did have him on the podcast, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, And he thinks Yuval has a good chance. I think he's and Reyes too, for sure, and Joanna. But he also said that he's not 100% picking them yet. He didn't know it for sure. He just couldn't pass the lines, because if you look at the lines he did get called, Dom Reyes, he got a +375.
That's massive value.
Right now, Dom's only +325. That's a big difference, right? Johanna, you got +140. Right now, I need to double check.
I think she's only like +120, +1. Like, I don't think he'll ever get. I think it's going to be a pick him at the end of it.
I'm 30. So he got a little bit of value on that. I think it'll go down too. And the other one was Yuval. I think he got +200, and right now Yuval is +185. So he got a little bit on that too. So Nick, I mean, listen, man, Nick's been doing this forever, guys. Like, he understands how to beat the books. Like, you have to beat the lines. You have to beat the line the way they move, right? So he's legit as hell, man, and I have a lot of respect for Nick. I just hope that me and you actually beat him in the picks contest this year, Cole, because I want to win that cold hard cash that the winner gets, don't you?
Yeah, that'd be nice. But back to, like, Kevin's question, those three winning, I think in order of just, I don't know if any of them win, but if I were to say my confidence, I'd put Joanna as my most confident to win, then Yoel, then Dom Reyes.
Man, it's tough. I think they all have a chance. Like, they all have a chance. Like, and that's why I think Nick put some money on, because he does think they have legitimately have a chance. How many of those three do you see winning? You know what, Kevin? I don't know who I'm going to say, but I'll say one of those three wins. I don't know who it's going to be. I think one of those three will win. I'll be honest. I don't think it would be that shocking if Dom Reyes wins next week. I think he has a chance, but it's just hard to pick against Sean Jones, Cole. You know, if there's anyone else in that division, if there's like Dom Reyes against Anthony Smith, I'd pick Dom Reyes, you know? So it's just one of those things where he's fighting the GOAT, and it's a tough matchup, but he could win. Yoel, we've never really seen – actually, I had a guy comment, I think it was here or maybe on my Twitter. It was on Twitter. I wrote an article on MMA ratings, and I said that Yoel is such an interesting matchup because he has that combination of wrestling and knockout power that Israel hasn't fought yet. And the guy's like, well, he fought Kelvin Gastelum, is the same like combination. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm sorry, but Kelvin Gastelum's a great fighter, and I love the guy. But Cole, who's a more dangerous wrestler, Kelvin Gastelum or Yoel Romero?
Romero. Who's the dangerous striker? Romero.
Thank you. So, I mean, to me, that's a more interesting matchup. Like, I think Yoel's going to wrestle him, though, man. I don't think he'll stand with Israel. If he stands with Israel, he'll get picked apart because the reach and the distance. And Joanna has a good chance. I got to get your quick thoughts on this, though. The whole meme with the gas mask. I mean, listen, like, it was stupid, right? Like, but, you know, I think a lot of people got up in arms about it. At the same time, though, imagine like one of your family members died from the coronavirus and she posted that, or maybe like imagine one of her family members died. Like, to me, it was a really stupid thing to post. What do you think?
Yeah, it was definitely distasteful. I didn't like it. I didn't find it funny at all. I don't find any of those funny at all. Like, whenever anyone does it, I think it crossed the line. And then even her apology was kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, but not really. Like, it did seem like she was really sincere. Yeah.
It was a terrible apology. Joanna's changed a lot too in the last few years. You know, another fighter that I think a lot of the fame got to her head a little bit. I believe that she said that her long-term boyfriend broke up, if I'm not mistaken, Cole, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember what happened exactly, but she basically said that was part of why she started going on that losing streak. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, personal problems do come into play. It's MMA, right? So the mental game is so important in this. All right. I think that's it. Anything else? No?
No, I think that's everything.
All right. Plug your stuff.
Twitter at ColeShell91 up on Penn right now is Kevin Lee talking about how he still is going to fight Makhachev. And then I talked to Ryan LaFleur, former UFC veteran. He wants to end his retirement. Another guy that's entering his retirement, he wants to sign with PFL. Other than that, all my news and everything else is always on my Twitter, anything I do.
Awesome, Cole. Thanks, man. And Kevin said her fiancé cheater broke off the wedding in the first rose fight. That's too bad. But and also, is that pick because you're high in race or think Jones is fading and taking it easy? I don't know. I got to think about that more. We'll talk about that next week. We'll be back on Tuesday, right, Cole, to break down that. This weekend, there's no UFC, but there is Super Bowl. You got a prediction for that?
Super Bowl? I like the Chiefs.
Yeah, me too. It's a close match. I think it's a pick 'em right now.
I also pick in the Chiefs because my dad's a big Niners fan. So I just root for the Chiefs.
Get out of here. I just think their offense is going to be the difference. But, I mean, the Niners are really good too, and they have a good defense especially. So it should be a really good Super Bowl. I love the Super Bowl, Cole. My mom usually makes these amazing wings, and we got the celery with a blue cheese dip and some beer. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It should be a great day. Anyways, you guys can check me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, available at MMAosbreaker.com. That's my home. That's the home of the podcast. And that's Cole's future home as well. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com. Me and Cole both right there. And then I'm also at MMARatings.net. Wow. Great show today, Cole. Thanks, man, for joining me. Guys, thanks for the questions. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Until then, have a great one, and I'll see you soon. Bye.